And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme. My theme today is success. My first guest told us how to be successful and have a winning life now. My second guest talked about Charlie Chaplin's success and what Chaplin's movies can tell a modern audience. My next guest is a successful attorney who'll tell us what it takes to be successful online. She'll tell us about personal safety using social networks and mobile devices. If you're interested or you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. That's area code 805-639-0008. Gloria Allred is the most famous woman attorney practicing law in the nation today. Ms. Allred is the founding partner of the law firm Allred, Marco & Goldberg. Her law firm handles discrimination cases. The firm is also well known for their work on behalf of victims. Over the course of her 30-year career, Gloria has won countless honors for her pioneering legal work on behalf of women's rights and the rights of minorities. She's an active feminist. She's also the serving president of the Women's Equal Rights Legal Defense and Education Fund. In 1986, President Ronald Reagan presented her with the 1986 President's Volunteer Action Award. Gloria earned her BA degree with honors in English from the University of Pennsylvania, an Ivy League school. She won her MA from New York University and her Juris Doctorate cum laude from Loyola University School of Law here in Los Angeles. Welcome to the show, Gloria. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you. So this is an important subject because social networking is just taking on. More and more people are using Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. In fact, the fastest growing demographic on Facebook is women aged 45 to 54 year olds. What are some of the dangers of posting too much information on these social networks?
Well, there are many dangers, Bill. And one of them, for example, there is a woman, her name is Jane. She found out the hard way one of the dangers. She was the wife of a big deal Long Island doctor. And one day after she'd had apparently a fight with her husband and arguments with her three young kids and cleaning up after a sick dog, she took her frustration out online. She wrote a post saying, "I wish I were dead." And as a result, she was locked up in a psych ward, forced to prove to her kids she's not a danger to herself. Now she's considering a divorce.
Oh, my goodness. Just by posting what would be considered a harmless, almost frustrated comment like, "I wish I were dead," she gets locked up?
Exactly. Now, of course, there's another employment issue that a waitress found out about the hard way. She was fired from her job after she posted inappropriate comments about customers. And then her manager showed her a copy of her Facebook comments, told her she was being fired for violating company policies against speaking disparagingly about customers and for casting the restaurant in a negative light. And so she lost her job over it.
Wow. Now, there are all sorts of websites out there. My Job Sucks, Glass Window, or Glass Ceiling. But these are sites where you actually post negative comments about companies. You mean those negative comments that are posted on these public websites can be a violation of employment contract with the employer?
Well, yes, or even without a contract, possibly. Matter of fact, Lawyers.com did a survey and found that 40% of Americans believe that they could be at risk of losing their job because of information they posted on a social networking site. But more than half, 53%, believe that inappropriate comments or posts on these sites shouldn't affect someone's employment. But the hard truth is that it certainly can, Bill. And it can, for example, if the employee who posted the information signed a non-disparagement or confidentiality agreement in connection with his employment, or if, let's say, the employer had a policy that work computers weren't to be used for such purposes at any time, then maybe the employee, if she or he does that, will be at risk of losing their job. Or, and this applies to most people do not have an employment contract in writing. So that makes them an at-will employee.
Right.
And then what that means in plain English is that the employer has the right to terminate an employee with or without cause, as long as there's no discriminatory motive, of course, or public policy issue. So, yes, posting a negative comment about your employer, their customers, their competitors, their business online can lose can lead to the loss of a job.
Wow. We're talking to Gloria Allred, everybody. We're talking about personal safety on the Internet, especially on social media sites. Let's stick with the topic of employment, if we can, Gloria. Now, HR departments claim that they investigate all candidates online before even consenting to an interview. So how do we protect ourselves against age and sex discrimination if we use online networks like Facebook and LinkedIn?
Well, I mean, they investigate, then it comes the question of what they can use. But I would say, out of an abundance of caution, people should be really careful about what they post online, because whatever they post is there forever.
Yes.
Sometimes, by the way, can even be retrieved if a person has tried to delete it or remove it. So now, for example, you can get into a situation where you've posted incriminating evidence online. That might even be used not only by your employer, but against you in a court of law. So let's say, for example, that someone's testifying in court as a witness, or
right.
Maybe that's even their case that they filed trying to get some compensation for some harm that they've suffered
mm-hmm.
as a result of somebody else. The witness is on the witness stand. Their credibility is at issue. They may be asked, have you ever taken drugs? Have you ever had any alcohol? And they may say no. And then suddenly they're faced with an attorney who pulls out a Facebook page from many years earlier, let's say when they were in college or in high school, showing them completely drunk, wasted, and or talking about the drugs or alcohol that they have consumed. And their credibility then, that witness's credibility, is completely destroyed. They may even lose their case over it. And what's more, in some cases, depending on what it says, they might even be prosecuted, because it may be an admission of a crime. So it's very, very important to be careful about what is posted online.
Well, I would agree. We're talking to the expert. We're talking to Attorney Gloria Allred, everybody. Gloria, what advice, if you were advising my listeners as clients, what types of content would you advise them against posting on the Internet?
Well, first of all, I would advise them to talk to their children about the risks, the dangers of what they put online. Because we all know that our kids are very well aware of the benefits, and they love to chat with each other, and you know, often say things that maybe later they wish they hadn't said. So parents really can play a huge role in protecting their children from the dangers by trying to explain to them what some of those dangers are. So I would say that, and then also, of course, for more information, you can go to lawyers.com. That's a free online resource. And there you can learn more about specific legal issues. You can find an attorney in your area. You can access free legal documents. But there's going to be quite a bit on lawyers.com about the dangers of social networking and how to protect against those dangers.
Mm. Well, on the subject of parents and influencing their children, Gloria, I want to ask you about sexting, which has become very popular among teenage and 20-year-olds on the Internet right now. What is the, first of all, what's the fascination with it? But then beyond that, what would you advise parents to tell their children about sexting?
Very simply, not to do it. You know, we've all seen recently in the news, Bill, about a Duke University, or former Duke University student who reportedly emailed a report of her sexcapades to only a few of her close friends. But then after one of those friends forwarded the document, and then that recipient did the same, the document soon went viral and
sure.
was published on websites. So from there it exploded into the blogosphere, was being shared on Twitter, became a social media cautionary tale. So yes, I would say tell your young people, you know, don't be sending pictures, photos of you, even to your boyfriend or your best friend, photos of you topless or your genital areas or anything else that you wouldn't want millions of people to see, because it's not going to be fun if that does go viral. You just can't protect against that, and you just have to not do that. And also you should know that in many instances, sexting, depending on what it is, may also be a crime, and you may be prosecuted for that and end up having to serve time as a result of that.
Sexting is a crime in some states?
Exactly. I mean, you just cannot, for example, send photos of children, you know, in certain kinds of positions to others. I just think it's, you have to be very, very careful.
I would agree. Well, Gloria, we're going to stay on the whole subject of romance, but get away from sexting if we can for just a minute. But I read a statistic, as many as 40% of all relationships now begin online. My own son, for example, found his fiance using an online dating service. What are some of the things that you would advise us to be aware of when we're using online dating services, and how do we protect ourselves against online stalkers?
Well, and again, that is important. And sometimes people do meet somebody online. And I had an assistant, some years ago, and she actually met her husband online, and they're very, very happily together today and married. So there can be, good results, but you have to be very careful because, in fact, a quarter of Americans who use social networking sites say they've seen people misrepresent themselves. That means they post incorrect information or they create fake profiles.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, alarmingly, more than 1 in every 10 Americans say they've received communication from strangers as a result of sharing information on a social networking site.
Wow.
So when it comes to young adults in particular who are very active on social networks and they have to remember that there can be risks and dangers involved once someone decides to post personal information online. And, again, keep in mind that it may become instantly available to millions of people, even strangers that may have nefarious motives and even criminal intent.
Hmm. Well, let's stick with this one more segment and say, all right, let's suppose you start a relationship online using these dating services and one party or the other breaks off the relationship and the second party really starts to stalk them online. What would you advise people to do if they're experiencing cyber stalking?
Well, if they are, then first of all, you need to see an attorney who specializes in stalking on the internet. And I guess you have to go on the internet to find those attorneys. And I'm sure if you go to lawyers.com, you can find an attorney in any area, in every area, in your state, in your region. In addition, you might also contact law enforcement and let them know what's going on. You may need to get a civil restraining order. You may, depending on what is said and what the stalking amounts to, it may be amount to criminal behavior, and there may be remedies in the criminal justice system. But I do think you have to take it very seriously because if you don't take it seriously, it can lead to something even worse than just a communication online.
I agree. We're talking to Gloria Allred, everybody. We're talking about safety on the internet, particularly using social networks. Gloria, you mentioned contacting law enforcement. Does law enforcement really take cybercrime seriously? Or do they have the resources to even help you in this area?
Well, I mean, I really think that it depends on what it is.
Okay.
The bad news is somebody's being stalked online. The good news is there's evidence of it from what they're sending. There it is in black and white online.
Good point.
And so, yes, I think that they will. Obviously, it depends on what the content of the communication is and who the sender is and what's the context of the communication. But, yes, I definitely think they will take it seriously, and they know that the dangerous consequences that can result if it's not taken seriously.
Okay. Great. Gloria, I'm going to change directions just a little bit here and talk about identity theft, because that is so prevalent today. And it's one of those crimes in America where the victim is actually presumed guilty until proven innocent, which is kind of a violation of our common law heritage here. What steps should we take to minimize the danger of identity theft online?
Well, I think one of them is to be very careful about not disclosing your personal information, Bill. In other words, if somebody just contacts you online and says, we have to have your Social Security number, no, you shouldn't be giving that out unless you know who it is and you know what the purpose of it is and why it is needed and make sure that it absolutely is needed.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition, other kind of personal information. I mean, you don't disclose, for example, your mother's maiden name. Banks need it. Others need it, but, be very, very careful. And there are just all kinds of scams going on online. I'm sure that just about everybody listening has received all kinds of scams that say, from people from other countries that say somebody's died and is leaving you money, and they want to send it to you, and all we need is, and then they tell you the personal information they need about you.
Sure, sure. I'm going to be a millionaire from a guy in Nigeria. He promises me.
Yeah, I mean, the Nigerian scams are just legendary, but there's some going on also from other countries. You know, as the saying goes, there ain't no free lunch. Okay, so I would say don't bite at that bait. Just pass on it because it's not, if it seems to be too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true, and there's danger inherent in it. So, yeah, err on the side of caution. Do not give out your personal information online.
Well, let's get into that a little bit deeper too, Gloria, because if you look at my profile on Facebook or LinkedIn, all of a sudden you can glean all kinds of really important information. My date of birth will probably come up, or at least the year of birth, maybe not, as well as mother's maiden name probably wouldn't come up, but you'd obviously get gender. You'd get a lot of stuff that you would need to fill out a credit application that's just available by perusing somebody's profile on Facebook or LinkedIn. Do you have any cautionary tales about profiles and how you should fill those out on online networks?
Well, again, I think a lot of it has to do with who you're dealing with. And, is this a recognized company? But even with recognized companies, sometimes there's follow-up, and it really isn't from that recognized company. It's from someone saying that they are from the company. And so I just say err on the side of caution. And if you can, for example, not put it online, do it some other way, then I think you probably will sleep a lot better at night.
We're talking to Gloria Allred, everybody. And, Gloria, I'm going to ask you now in your professional capacity as an attorney to sort of look into the crystal ball of the future. We've got all of this stuff is exploding online, and we're not going to stop it. It's going to go mobile, too, with handheld devices and everything else. What sorts of case law do you see coming out of this new migration towards the Internet, towards social networking, and how's that going to impact us, say, 10 years down the road?
Well, the law is evolving a little slower than the Internet is.
Mm-hmm.
That's just always the case with the law. But it's had an impact already. I mean, for example, in cases that we handle right now, we're retrieving texts from phones. We're retrieving emails online. We're using quite a bit that's already online as evidence in our cases. And so I think that's really something that everybody needs to be aware of. All kinds of cases are exactly using that. And I think in the future, we're going to find out that that's playing an even bigger role. So just be careful, because people get very comfortable. They think they're just sitting in a room by themselves with their computer, maybe only chatting with one person, and they don't realize the implications for the future and how much that can affect their life. And it's actually shocking. There's a case, for example, two female employees in Indiana claimed they were subjected to sexual harassment
mm-hmm.
while they were at their office.
Yeah.
And the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission filed a complaint on their behalf, and their employer was asked to turn over profiles and postings and messages that could have been sent through online social networks to be used as evidence in court. And my guess is that those people that they were suing for sexual harassment never thought that all of that would end up becoming evidence in court, but there it was, and it was used against them.
What are going to be the implications for the discovery part of laws? And we've only got about 30 seconds left. I mean, this is an explosion of paperwork. It's just going to make your job as an attorney harder, isn't it, Gloria?
Well, it's just another form of evidence, it is challenging. Because, some of what's online is good for our clients. Some of it is not good for our clients. But the point is that everybody who decides to publish content in a public online network needs to know that information is no longer private. And once it's in the public domain, it can be used against you or can be used for you. But I think that what you really have to worry about is it's being used against you. So be very, very cautious about what you put online, and don't get real comfortable when you're at your computer and just say things that one day you're going to wake up and regret having said.
And we're going to have to leave it there. We've been talking to Gloria Allred, everybody, the most famous woman attorney in the United States. Thank you, Gloria, for being our guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, thank you.